Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is somebody we have brought back just about every year, I think. Chris Sincarf, franchise consultant for FranChoice, has joined us just about every year, usually gives us an update on what's going on with franchises around the country. But we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about, hey, there's a lot that has changed in the world today. There's a lot of things going on with COVID-19. There's a lot of people that have suddenly been furloughed, unemployed. There's people thinking about, maybe I shouldn't work for that big company. Maybe I need to think about doing something out on my own. Maybe I've been out on my own, started a restaurant. Maybe it's maybe not for me. Maybe I need to still have that entrepreneurial spirit, but I need to think about partnering with a larger brand to make things happen. So we're going to be talking to Chris today about what are the options out there? What's going on today? What's the silver lining behind all that's going on in the world? So I welcome Chris to the show. Welcome back, Chris.
David, it's great to be with you. You know, I always enjoy our conversations. I think this will be an interesting one today because it's certainly a different environment than when we spoke last.
No question. I mean, as we said prior to the show, no one saw this coming. I mean, in reality, it just came out of nowhere. And maybe you can give a feel or fit about how it is in the franchise world and how, you know, how it's been affected and what you're hearing on the ground.
You know, David, I think it's actually interesting. So as you and I have been reading the news over the past month, I think that the predominant feeling has been a lot of surprise and a lot of anxiety. What's been very interesting to me, as I've been having conversations with franchise owners who are already in business, what they've been finding is that they actually believe that this is a good opportunity for them, because being within a franchise brand where there's a support structure and there's more than just that individual owner working toward a solution, they actually feel pretty optimistic that as business starts to open back up and people start to come back out and start buying again, that they're going to be poised in their businesses to really be well positioned to succeed and to grow. You know, one of the interesting pieces that I've been hearing constantly from franchise owners is that the leadership teams of the brands have been extremely supportive of developing mitigation strategies, helping them to negotiate with vendors for cost reductions or delayed payment terms, to develop marketing plans to message to their clients effectively. So being part of a franchise system, when you go through a very challenging situation like this, actually has a tremendous number of advantages that the franchise owners are able to capitalize on right now.
And I think that's an important piece of this conversation, is that there has been support, and, you know, a lot of individuals are out there and thinking to themselves, you know, I'm kind of on this on my own. And while there are certainly many programs, as we all know, coming from support from a financial standpoint, PPP and others, CARES Act, so forth, so on, I think it's still, you know, there's this question of, you know, as well as I do, owners want, 99.9% of owners want to do the right thing. They don't want to be laying off or shutting the door or temporarily furloughing employees. You know, over the last few months, certainly from a CMA perspective, we've unfortunately had to help a lot of organizations furlough people. And there are a lot of people out there now, you know, thinking, what's next in my career? What if the organization doesn't reopen? What if you know, there is something that I could do that might be more supportive of myself and give myself and my family some support out there. So talk to me a little bit about, and we've certainly talked in the past, but a little bit about what some options might be. What do you see? And again, at 30,000 feet right now, what do you see as some of the things that people should start thinking about if they're going down that path?
Of the folks I've been speaking to most recently, what they and I have coalesced on are a handful of characteristics that right now seem to us that are safer choices and better bets. Okay, so broadly speaking, I would say that people right now that I'm talking to about franchise investments are most interested in businesses that don't have a retail footprint. So they are more attracted to services-based businesses where working at home or working remotely is an alternative for the team, that they can still continue in business and that they don't have a brick-and-mortar establishment that's closed down. So that's been the first characteristic that we're focused on, is trying to find services-based businesses as a preference right now to brick-and-mortar retail business. The second, there are a lot of businesses out there that are actually doing quite well right now and are more or less business as usual. So think about businesses, David, that are relatively recession-resilient industries. So I would give you examples of disaster restoration businesses where you're coming in to clean up after a fire or a broken water pipe. Even in times like these, David, those disasters occur, and those businesses are at work every single day doing their normal operations, regardless of whether the economy is good or bad. Companies that are doing trash hauling and recycling and things like that, those are also businesses that are working on a regular schedule because those are required services that are completely recession resilient. So that's been the second kind of overriding theme that people have been interested in businesses that fit that category. And then the other one, David, that I actually think is very interesting, as I've seen some folks come into my business and are now starting a conversation with me about franchising, they've been furloughed or they've been downsized, and what they're bringing to the table is a tremendous amount of corporate experience, whether that's in finance or marketing or team building, HR. And what they're doing is they're positioning themselves to be able to go out into the market as an expert in that particular field, that they are looking at franchises that might be doing professional coaching, or they might be doing financial management, or they might be doing expense reduction and analysis. Those are all very successful franchise brands where there's a system in place, there's a marketing program there, there's a support structure built, and those are also all businesses that you can operate very effectively on a remote basis. So, David, I think there's a lot of really interesting business opportunities right now that even in the face of a really difficult pandemic and in the course of a lot of brick-and-mortar businesses being closed, there's ways that people can make a career transition right now and hit the ground running.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with FranChoice and a frequent guest here on the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo. And we're talking about looking at opportunities now, even under the COVID-19 pandemic situation, and what really could be right for you after this is over. One of the things that you mentioned is the fact that people are looking at service-based industries, or they're looking at recession-proof industries. But, you know, retail is probably going to come back. There's going to be still people that need haircuts and people that still need things that are in retail stores. I recognize that some of it's there. What's the opportunity for somebody to look at it and say, well, should I get in on the ground floor?
So, David, earlier today, I actually had a very interesting conversation with a real estate developer. And this is a friend of mine. We were talking about his business, and he owns a very large retail complex. And what he indicated to me was that on the flip side of this, he's going to unfortunately have some tenants in his plaza who just aren't going to open their businesses back up again. And that's very unfortunate for them, but what it does create is an opportunity for a new business to step in there. And what this developer indicated to me, David, which I think is quite a contrast to how it has been in the past few years, he's much more willing to negotiate with a new tenant a lower cost per square foot for space. He's willing to accommodate more flexibility on lease terms. He's also more willing to kick in some of the construction dollars to build out the space to their needs. So the one opportunity, David, where I really think retail businesses will have a leg up over the next 6 or 12 months is that they're going to have a much larger selection of real estate to choose from, and they're also more than likely going to be able to negotiate lower cost per square foot and probably more generous contributions from the landlord to building out that space. So I think that gives them a really nice starting point and also a nice long-term advantage on costs.
You know, Chris, one of the other things that you mentioned at the beginning is that franchisors, or the organizations that are the parent companies for these large franchisees, or in the reality is could be small, are really supporting their individual franchisees. Tell me some of what that support looks like, because I think that's an important piece for people listening, and they're saying to themselves, well, I don't know, this might be an interesting investment, it might be something that I think about, but what support could they really do in the face of a situation like the pandemic we're in today?
So, David, I'm going to give you a great example. There is a franchise family of brands called Exponential Fitness. And this is a group of brands. They have 8 individual operating businesses within this family. And obviously, with this being a group fitness-based business, it was closed down in mid-March, more or less from coast to coast. Those business owners were completely closed out. What the franchisor did in anticipation of this is early in March, when they started to see that this could become a trend, what they did was they quickly pulled together virtual programming. Is that they went into one of the studios and they had a professional team come in and record for each of the different 8 brands, recorded classes that are then being made available to all the members across the country on a reduced cost per month. But they have access to the same programming that they would have access to in the studio, but now they can do it at home. They can stream it to their TV, they can watch it on their iPad or their laptop, and they can participate in the classes. They've also gone out and negotiated with the equipment vendors to be able to move equipment from the studios to people's houses, so that if you wanted to have a rowing machine or a cycling bike in your studio or in your house instead of in the studio, they facilitated making that happen. So, David, the franchisors in this have become very, very creative in finding ways to create continuity for the owners and, more importantly, continuity for the customers so that they don't become disconnected from the brand, but instead the bond with the brand actually becomes strengthened in the course of doing this. And if you have a business that has 100 or 200 or 300 locations across the country, you can put in the investment to do that, where it's much, much more difficult if you're a standalone independent business to be able to, A, come up with the idea, or B, figure out how to produce that and make it happen on your own. That's one of the advantages, David, of being part of a franchise system in this type of a downturn is the resource sharing and the opportunity to capitalize on the scale is what really saves people.
There's no question that there's economies of scale that really make a difference when you're looking at this type of, you know, what you'll call global or national issue. You know, we're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with FranChoice. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
Today's economic environment presents many challenges. It seems as though it's harder than ever to navigate the investment landscape to seek out adequate return and manage risk at the same time. ClearPoint Financial is a financial advocate for those who need assistance making complex decisions about how to manage their wealth. They inspire their clients to make informed decisions through education, communication, and service that exceeds expectation. Call Michael Toole at ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Kristen Carr. He's a franchise consultant. And, of course, I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. You know, Chris, as we think about, or as individuals think about investing in this day and age, especially as they say to themselves, well, with all the uncertainty, I think the word investment is something that somebody's going to have to think about and say, well, what does that mean to me today? What are some of the options? What are some of the things that even in this time of turmoil that banks and or, you know, investment companies or so forth can help people with? Because I think it could be conceived as a deterrent when in fact it might not be as much as people think it is.
You know, David, I think what's been very, very interesting, and I think this is where this downturn stands in stark contrast from my experience in previous recessions. All right. I feel very strongly that the government has stepped up from a lending and a financing perspective extraordinarily well over the last month. They realized that this was going to become an enormous problem, and they actually got out in front of it. The Treasury Department, along with the Small Business Administration, has made available to individuals and business owners an array of different financing programs, all of which are intended to do two things, David. One, for individuals who are already in business, it's intended to provide them a buffer, a little bit of breathing room, so that they can hire employees back on, make their rent payments, continue to pay their vendors, and stabilize the business until they can open back up in the springtime and the summertime. All right. But the second thing, which I think is even more important, is those programs are available to people who want to start businesses now. they're not limited to people who have just started and are already operating. A lot of those incentives will continue to be available on an ongoing basis. So, for example, if you wanted to start a business today, David, and as a part of your financing program, you wanted to be able to go out and borrow money on a small business administration loan as part of your financing package, through the end of the year, the SBA will continue to make the first six payments for you on that loan. They'll approve you, put you into business, and for the first 6 months, you won't have to make a payment. That gives you a tremendous amount of head start and just a lot of sigh of relief during those early months to know that you can spend a little bit money on marketing, that you can add another people resource as you need to, because you don't have that debt payment to make on the first of the month. It's been made for you. So I think, David, right now, there's a lot of assistance financially available to existing business owners and to new business owners coming out.
When we're talking about investment, people might say, okay, what does that mean for me in terms of an individual business? Can you give like an understanding for what that would look like for somebody in terms of what they would have to bring to the table or not bring to the table, or what type of, you know, even credit or everything that they have to bring forward? I want to kind of give them a little piece to think on, because I think it's a piece of important information.
I think that's a great question, David. So I think it's important when we look at this to really view your business as an investment, all right? So for most families, the largest investment that they're going to make in their lives is to buy a primary house, all right? And when people look at that economics, they typically look at it in two components. They're going to make a cash down payment for the business, and then they're going to borrow money through a mortgage to finance the difference, and they'll pay it off over time, all right? I think most people should think about investing in a franchise in exactly the same way. They're going to make a down payment, and then most individuals will also borrow some money to supplement that additional investment. So let's look at some numbers around that, David, in very broad terms, all right? If you think about a services-based business that does not have a brick-and-mortar location, but instead it's either home-based or it's operating out of a very simple kind of flex industrial space, your investment range for that business, David, is probably around $150,000. Could be a lot less, could be a little bit more, but let's use $150,000 as our round number. For most business loans, the down payment that the bank is expecting from you is 30% of that total investment. So in most instances, if you were going to invest in a services business, you would be investing about $45,000 of your savings, and then you'd be mating that up with a business loan for about $105,000. So that gives you the basic scenario of what the investment would look like. Now, a brick-and-mortar business, which would be a restaurant or a hair salon, a beauty business, a fitness club, all of those are going to be a brick-and-mortar business where the investment is typically going to be larger than that. More equipment, more construction, more retail hours. So those investments are certainly going to be larger, and I would say that that range at the low end starts at about $250,000 and then goes up from there. Okay, but the economics around the down payment and the loan are very similar, approximately a 30% down payment and then a 70% business loan to go with it.
So that gives people an understanding, or at least a perspective of what they might need to invest if we're doing that. So, you know, I want to kind of shift gears for a second here, if I could, to talk to you about what does a person need to mentally prepare themselves for? What do they need to think about when they're considering doing this? What are some of the conversations they need to have? We've talked a little bit about this before, but I think in these times, it's good to recap and also think about what it means today.
You know, David, I'm glad you asked that, because I think this is a really important issue for people to really take to heart at this point. So I think what the hardest portion of this particular epidemic has been for people is that they don't feel as if they have any control over the situation. They don't know how it started. They don't know when it's going to end. They don't know what they should or shouldn't be doing. There's a lot of anxiety about just not being able to control their outcome. Okay? I think this is an issue that I stress to people all the time when they think about making a transition from being an employee to being a business owner. You will have more control over your outcome. You are empowered every day to be able to go out and make decisions to drive your business forward. Your business success is driven by the decisions that you make, the energy that you put into it, and the way that you choose to drive the business forward. And so I think for a lot of people, making a transition to business ownership is really them grasping a hold of that desire for control and autonomy, to be able to self-determine what comes next. And that right now feels really empowering to people, David. They want to be able to drive something forward and feel good that they're moving it in the right direction and that they're making decisions and decisions aren't being made for them. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that I stress to people. A second one, David, is I always want business owners to have a realistic perspective that there's good days, but there's also bad days. And so there is an emotional roller coaster that at the beginning of your business ownership experience is going to have very pronounced peaks and very pronounced valleys. But over a time, it tends to balance itself out more, that the ups and downs are still there, but they're not quite as wide-ranging as they are at the beginning, because you've developed more experience, you've developed more confidence that, yeah, today wasn't a good day, but I think tomorrow's going to be better. And you really do build that confidence and that experience set that it will be better and that you are empowered to make decisions to go drive it to be better. So I think, David, those are the two issues that I would really want people to think about, is business ownership can be extremely empowering, but be aware that it also does promote for you more of an emotional roller coaster, particularly for the first, let's call it 6 or 12 months, when you're really learning and getting used to it for the first time.
We're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with FranChoice. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio, and I'm your host, David Chula. So one of the things that you've mentioned before is this concept of master franchising, where you basically come in and you help others become franchisees. Want to bring that up now because I think this might be something that is very appealing to people who are expertise in sales or expertise in different areas, and they also can still work out of their house, for example. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think master franchising, David, is a really interesting concept. And I think you're right. At this time, I think it is appealing to people. I think that the appealing elements of something like that relate to individuals being able to empower others to start a business. Now, certainly there's a profit motive for that master franchise owner, that they realize that the more people that they can deploy into business, the bigger they can build their team, obviously the larger income opportunity they have. But there's also a very true sense of wanting to help those other people to be able to develop a business and really be able to help themselves and bootstrap up on their own. I think that the skill set, David, for someone who is an effective master franchise owner is really two core skills. So one is certainly someone who has the ability and the comfort to be a salesperson or a business developer, because obviously you are trying to sell someone a unit-level franchise, so there's some sales component attached to that. But the second is you also have to have the ability to train and develop and coach them, because at the end of the day, you're selling them an opportunity, but you also need to be in a position to help them realize what that business can be. And so your role of cultivating in them a knowledge of the business, how they can go to market, how they can deploy a marketing strategy, how they should build a team, those are skills that you are going to have to transfer from your skill set to the skill set of that individual so that they can then deploy them and succeed in business on their own. I think master franchising at this point could be a very interesting model because all of those things can be deployed sitting in a home office using nothing more than a laptop, a telephone, and a Zoom internet connection.
Chris, how supportive are the franchisors for that type of model, and do they provide the same type of support level they would if they were on the ground with the individual franchisee?
Yeah, that's a good question, David. So I think that most master franchising models are set up so that the base level franchisor of the entire brand trains the master franchise owners, who then in turn train the unit level franchise owners. So I think that there's a passing of the baton from phase to phase, that support becomes localized with the master franchise owner, and that's where the majority of the training and the hands-on tactical day-to-day comes from. I will tell you that the more strategic and larger brand-building opportunities, those do still reside with the parent company, and that's good because that should be done nationwide on a very consistent basis. But the local support and the day-to-day nuts and bolts execution, that is typically handled by the master franchise owner.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Chris Sinkar, franchise consultant with FranChoice. You're listening to Educational HR Radio, and we'll be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsinME.com. That's JobsinME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest is Chris Sinkar, and we've been talking to him about what are the opportunities today. Yes, even downturns can create opportunities, don't they, Chris?
David, to be honest with you, a lot of the smartest investors that I talk to, they seek these downturns because it gives them an opportunity to really find bargains. So, yes, I think there's great opportunities today.
So, you know, I think it would be helpful during this segment if we provided some examples for individuals who are listening today. Maybe they're HR professionals, maybe they're business owners, maybe they're someone who's lost their job. And they're saying, well, okay, it sounds good, but do you have any examples of success stories? Or do you have any examples? And I know, for example, you're a franchisor. So you consult on this area. So talk to us a little bit about your success. You've done this, as well as maybe you can give us a story or two for people to sink their teeth into.
Yeah, so David, as you know, I'm a franchise owner with a couple of different brands. One of the brands that's actually been flourishing during this cycle with a business partner, I'm a franchise owner with a business called Supporting Strategies. And Supporting Strategies provides outsourced bookkeeping and accounting work for small businesses. So during this cycle, we've actually found an increasing demand for our services because we have a lot of small businesses that realize that their books weren't in as good a condition as they expected, and for them to be able to apply for an EIDL loan or prepare the information they needed for the Paycheck Protection Program, they really needed some help. So that's a business, David, that our workforce is entirely deployed remotely. We have staff that live in multiple different states, and we are able to help our clients to prepare that information and have accurate, timely financials on a completely remote basis. So that's, I think, a really good example of a business that is in a durable space. Bookkeeping and accounting is a very stable, consistent month-to-month business. It's also one where our operations operate very effectively on a remote basis. I mean, that's how we've been operating for years. That's the standard operating procedure for us. So I think that's one example of a business that can really do well in a downturn. You know, another example, David, you've been cooped up in your house for a while. I've been cooped up in my house for a while. One of the tasks that we've taken on at our house is we've started to work on those clean-out projects that we always wanted to do but really never prioritized. Well, now we've got plenty of time to work on them. So one of the interesting businesses that has actually flourished during this business is the junk hauling industry. So I was in a conversation recently with a couple of franchise owners from a company called College Hunks Hauling Junk. And it's a great name. It's a great name.
Somebody really thought that one through. I like that. That's good.
You're a perfect franchise owner for this, too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Flattery will get you everywhere. Keep going.
So what's interesting about this business is that because the college hunks don't necessarily need to come into your house to do the junk hauling, this is a business that continues to be able to operate. And in fact, they've had some of their units have had their best months ever during the last couple of months because they've been able to provide services and people are getting rid of stuff in their house and they're working through these cleanup projects. So, David, there's all of these different areas of the business where you may not necessarily think that things are going on and that the economy's rolling, but there are big chunks of the economy that continue to work and are actually necessary services.
And I think that's the mindset, right? This mindset of keeping an idea or and getting that support behind it. And I think, you know, look, you know, the audience knows that I've owned a franchise and recently mm-hmm. sold a franchise, and I recognize that the support behind it was why I was so successful, and you are in this world each and every day. So, you know, it is that support, that safety net, if you want to call it, that
David,
gives you that.
That's a really good way to phrase it, is that you're the way that many franchisors like to phrase this is they will tell you that you're in business for yourself, but you're not by yourself. That you are in business to drive your own destiny, to create your own opportunity, but you don't have to do it every step of the way solo. that there's a marketing team there who's there to provide you with the tools to market effectively. There's a training team that's there to provide you with the necessary means that you need to build up a new team and a larger team around you. That everything that you need is provided. It's a resource to you. And in that way, I think you should see franchising in a very similar way, David, to as if you were an employee in a larger company. If you have an HR problem, you go see the HR department. If you have an IT problem, you call the IT department. If you're a franchise owner and you have a marketing challenge, you're not by yourself. Instead, you pick up the phone and you talk to the marketing experts at the franchisor and you explain to them where you're at, you talk about your challenge, and you see what recommendations and solutions that they can provide to you. And I think, David, that is what really is enabling business owners who are in a franchise system to flourish in a downtime like this, is they have a team around them that they can leverage for support and leverage for a going forward advantage. I think when you see, David, our economy 6, 12, 18, 24 months down the road from where we are right now, I think what you're going to find is that franchise businesses as a whole are going to really do significantly better than independent businesses coming out of this downturn. I think those businesses are going to be better positioned to flourish on the flip side. They're going to have a marketing strategy to go back after the customers. They're going to have the support structure now to be able to position themselves to retrench, to save money, to put into place the tools that they need to grow back out of this on the flip side. So I really think franchises are really, as much as they advantage you in good times, I think it's an even bigger advantage when we're going through a challenging time as we are now.
And we're talking with Chris Sinkar. He's a franchise consultant with Franchise. You're listening to HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. You know, Chris, as we wrap up this segment, one last question. I think it falls directly into what we just talked about, which is about an individual says, okay, I might be interested. This sounds really good. I'd like to learn more. How do I know I'm going into a strong franchise model? How do I know that it's got the strength and backing to not only make it through this, but to make it go forward? I think that's a big piece of the puzzle.
You know, David, as you go through a franchise investigation process, there's a number of different phases to that process. Right. The first phase is for you to spend time really learning the business and understanding the nuts and bolts about who's the customer and how do I acquire that customer and how do I build a team and what does the operations and training look like. Once you've set that baseline of information that's going to be taught to you by employees of the franchise company, the real heart of the investigation process, David, is you then, as a prospective owner, being able to contact, talk to, and meet with current franchise owners in that system and really ask them detailed questions about their experiences. So as I'm coaching candidates right now who are looking at franchises, I'm encouraging them to go out and have conversations with existing franchisees and ask those owners, how is the leadership team at this franchise brand responding in adversity? How are they supporting you? Tell me examples of what they are doing to help you be more successful in your business. And David, that's the heart of any good franchise investigation, is that process, which we in the industry call validation, is that you go out and have conversations to validate that the franchise system is providing you with the tools and the support that you need to really build a successful business in good times, and that they're also supporting you when you need it most in bad times. So that proof really comes by talking to the existing franchise owners, David.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest has been Chris Sincar. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking about franchises and today's environment and how they still can be a great option. Chris, you know, as we wrap up the show today, how about giving us the top three reasons or thoughts you have as to why people should still think about franchises as an option, even during these challenging times?
You know, David, thanks for the opportunity to come on today. You know, I really do feel that this is a pretty unique time, and I think that actually feeds the opportunity for people to be thinking about a franchise investment. You know, the first thing that I would want to highlight for people, when you think about making a franchise investment, the word that I really want you to be focused on is investment. So all of us in our lives, we have a variety of things that we invest in, all right? For many of us, the largest investment that we have is our house. Maybe our largest investment is actually our 401k account, all right? I want people to think about investing in a franchise simply as an alternative investment, all right? I don't want them to think about it as something risky that they're doing. What's risky, in my opinion, is sinking money into a stock market where you don't have any control. I think that you instead choosing to invest in a business of your own and really being able to harness your efforts and control that investment and drive your outcome, to me, that's what really allows you to build a bigger asset, build a great financial outcome for yourself. So that's the first piece, is really just think about your franchise as an alternative investment. All right? The second kind of takeaway, David, that I'd like to leave everybody with, I'd really like them to think about the fact that this is going to pass as well. We're in a really tough spot right now as a country, as business owners. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for every single one of us. But I believe very strongly, David, that this is going to be better for everybody 60 days from now, 120 days from now. And what I want people to be able to do, I want them to position themselves so that on the flip side of this, they're ready to go out and really run with a career and really have something that they're excited about. All right. So that's the second piece, is to focus on the long-term perspective of being a business owner. The third, David, and by far to me the most important, it is simply more exciting, engaging, rewarding to be a business owner. David, if I brought on to this, you know, this show with us today 20 of my business owner friends, and I asked them if they would rather in the next year be a business owner again or be an employee again, I think 20 out of 20, David, would tell you they want to be a business owner. Because that process, even in its bad days, is more engaging, it's more exhilarating, it's more rewarding for them than being an employee. On the flip side, if I brought 20 of my very successful employee friends in the room and I asked them the same question, I think I'd get a pretty mixed result. I think some of them would rather be business owners than be employees. But the business owners would never go the other way, David. So that's the other point that I want people to take home today. I really want them to give consideration to being a business owner, because in the long run, it's just a much more rewarding career opportunity.
Chris, as always, you do a great job of explaining franchising. We really appreciate you being on the show. Again, Chris Sinkar with FranChoice, Franchise Consultant. Chris, how can they reach you?
You know, David, the easiest way for them to get in touch with me is simply visit my website. It is chrissinkar.com. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, the last name, Sinkar, C-Y-N-K-A-R, chrissinkar.com.
And of course, if they really want to make it simple, they can go to hrpowerhour.com, where we'll have your information and everything right there directly. And they can listen to this show or click on your link and go directly to your site. Chris, again, great having you on the show today. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have you back soon.
I'll look forward to it, David. Have a great day.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. News Talk, WLOB, 100.5 FM. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Who makes the termination decision? Hi, this is Ben Ford from Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group. Deciding who makes the termination decision is a critical decision to be made in the termination process. I know that sounds confusing, but what it means is that you should have a limited number of people who weigh in on whether or not to terminate an employee. And the reason why is because a lot of people know a lot of things about that employee. If you can have the termination decision being made by a limited number of people, that means a limited number of people know about the any kind of protected characteristics about that employee. This is helpful if the employee should ever bring a charge of discrimination, because it's always nice to be able to say that the people making the termination decision did not know about the protected characteristic of that employee. Got a question about making employment termination decisions? Call Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.